Holding on Samach Amad Beis, just above the middle of the Almud, about when we're going to fight it. Okay, we left off with, we're in the middle of dealing with various brachas that a person says in the course of their day. The last one we talked about is a person goes to bed, he says Kriya Shema, and he says Hamatzah. So now let's talk about when a person wakes up, the brachas that a person says in the morning. Ki Mitzah, when the person wakes up in the morning, Omer, he says the bracha as follows, Elokai, Hashem, my Hashem, neshama shenasata b'tahara, the neshama that you placed within me is tahara. After, you, in fact, actually, the Gemara in Nidah mentions, when it mentions the famous Mashvir Moshe Ti Tzadik Balsi Rasha, the Gemara continues over there that the person is informed, you should know, the neshama Hashem is tahara, the ones who serve him are tahara, your neshama is tahara, so make sure that you keep it in good shape. So we're acknowledging that when we wake up in the morning. Api Yitzalka B, you created it within me. Okay, Slach said you take out B because Hashem created it and then put it in us, or whatever. We say B at the end. We say after Barossa, after Yitzalka, after Nefachka B. So we only put the B at the end. Because, and that's Slach points out, because you have the Neshama is created first, and then it's, so to speak, blown into the body. If you said after Yitzalka B, then what's the point of it being blown into the body? Then, yeah. Okay, so after Yitzhak Abi, you created it within me. After Nefach Abi, you blew it into me. And Marsha points out that our Nusach is, we say after Barossa, after Yitzhak, after Nefach Abi, which represents the three levels of the Neshama. You have Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, plus also you have Chaya and Yechidah, but those are more makif, those are surrounding the person, so to speak. So here we met three Lashonas to represent the three levels of the Neshama.
You indicate the B, that it's two different things, but really, the Neshama is the person.
No, as a matter of fact, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya these days that for a Benini, the Neshama is not the person. The Nefesh Bahamas and the Guf are the person, and then they have a Nefesh Elikis.
The proof is, if you take away the Neshama, the person doesn't live.
No, because the Goy doesn't have a Neshama of that type. There are different levels of the Neshama. And the point is, there's different levels of Neshama. Yeah, okay, so there's a level of a Neshama that just the person can breathe. The person breathes while they're asleep also. But here, when we're acknowledging that Hashem restored us our Neshama, then we're talking about the Neshama that makes us able to think and to be able to learn and do mitzvahs and then so forth. So these are the levels of the Neshama that we're talking about.
There's
a body left. But anyway, the point is, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, in these days actually, that there's a difference between a Beinoni and a Tzaddik in that regard. A Beinoni, the Neshama, the Nefesh Elikis, which is what we're talking about. We're talking about the Nefesh Elikis over here. We're not talking about
both
the Nefesh. We're talking about the Nefesh Elikis. No, a Goy does not have a Nefesh Elikis.
We're talking about the Yid.
Right, so a Yid, but, then you have a Goy. As a matter of fact, it's brought that when we thank Hashem in the morning for returning us our Neshama, one thing we're thanking is that Hashem returned us our Neshama and not the Neshama of a Goy. So yes, a Goy is perfectly able to live without a Nefesh Elikis. But by a Beinoni, the Nefesh Elikis is something within him. It's not him himself. By a Tzaddik, yes, the Nefesh Elikis is him himself. But then we're talking about for most people. Let's go on. The Nefesh Bahamas is an essential part of the person's right. Let's talk about it, except for a Tzaddik. Let's talk about that later. We have ground to cover. Okay. So after the Neshama b'kibi, you preserve the Neshama within me. But after Osid Litla Mimani, eventually you will take it away from me. When a person passes away, then his Nefesh Elikis is taken, his Nefesh Bahamas also for that matter. But again, we're focusing on the Nefesh Elikis is taken away from me. Ulach Zira Bila Osid Lava, and in the future, by Tchias HaMeisim, you will return it to me. Calls man shan Neshama b'kibi, as long as the Neshama is within me. Mordani l'chonecha Hashem alakai v'lakai v'sai. I thank you, Hashem, my God, and the God of my fathers. Ribon kol ha'olamim, the master of all the world. Adon kol ha'neshamas, the master of all the neshamas. Baruch atah Hashem, ha'machta neshamas b'fgarim meisim, that Hashem restores neshamas to dead bodies. So one thing is, in bracha, we're acknowledging. Okay, so the point is, that in other words, the body would be dead without a neshama, but on another level, in other words, it would be dead to elikus without a nefesh elikis. Later on, when we say, I mean, we're not going to mention in our Gemara over here the bracha shalaya sani goy, that's mentioned in the Gemara Menachos, but it says that that bracha specifically, we said, why do we say every day shalaya sani goy? If I wasn't a goy yesterday, how am I a goy today? How could I possibly have been a goy today? Because conceivably, you could have gotten back in the morning, you could have gotten back the neshama of a goy, and you're thanking Hashem that you didn't, you got back the neshama of a yid. So the Elokai neshama is also on a similar theme. That's it. Mostly it's talking about the Nefesh Elokis. Mostly it's, or even among the Nefesh Bahamas, it's talking about the higher functions of it. The lower functions of it still exist while a person is asleep. A person still breathes and a person still digests and whatever while they're asleep. Okay, let's go on. Okay. That's fine. The person could still live like that. Let's go on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Indefinitely, a person doesn't live with enough Nefesh either. After 120, they pass away. Let's go.
Indefinitely, I mean, you cannot give this very quickly.
Okay. People.
One second.
Okay.
Once the neshama leaves the body, is it not considered this individual? It's just something else?
Now you have the neshama. What do you mean? I mean, now you have that individual exists on a different level, but whatever. I mean, their neshama, their nefesh of the kiss joins together with other courses, and their nefesh of Bahamas, whatever, depends on what they accomplished with their nefesh of Bahamas during their lifetime. Okay, can we go on, please? This is a long topic that we don't have a place to discuss over here. If you want, afterwards, we can talk about it. Okay. Onward. Kishama Kirl Tanagola. When a person hears the sound of a rooster crowing, Lema, he says, the Baruch Baruch Hashem Nosam of Sechvi Vina, Lahafkin Benyem Ben Loila, Hashem gave the Sechvi the intelligence to distinguish between day and night. The word Sechvi over here actually has a double meaning. Rashi over here brings it that it means a rooster. We find the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah to that effect. But you also have the Rosh points out that the word Sechvi also means the heart. So it means both. It means that the heart has the intelligence to realize from the rooster's crow that the difference between day and night. Tosfos says that actually no, you still make the bracha even if you didn't, because the fact is you're enjoying the light. The rooster itself, wherever it is, recognizes and enjoys the light. You also are making the bracha. There is a great big machlokas between the Rishonim on this question. Do you say any of these? All these brachas that we're going to list over here, does a person say them if that particular morning they're not applicable to him? Let's say, for example, we're going to have soon the bracha, let's say, for example, you have the bracha Zoykos Kufim, when the person stands up out of bed. Let's say the person decides to lie the whole day in bed. Does he say that bracha or not? The Rambam holds that not. The many other Rishonim hold that, yes, you still say the brachas because they're all Seder HaOlam. You say them for the fact that the world enjoys these things. You yourself maybe decided not to do that thing that day, but that's you can't what? Right. So one exception is Sha'asali called Turkey, which we're going to say soon, refers to putting on shoes. We don't say that on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur because then it's not a matter of your choice. Nobody can wear shoes on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. All right. Anyway, so yeah, according to Tosfos and most of Rishonim, yes, you would say it even if you didn't hear the rooster. According to the Rambam, only if you actually heard it. Okay. When the person opens his eyes, he thanks Hashem who opens the eyes of the blind. He treats the Yosef when he sits up straight in bed. He says that Hashem unties the bound because, like so to speak, the person was bound. He was frozen in place during the night, and now he's able to move. He lovish when he gets dressed. As Hashem clothes the naked. He zokit when he stands up. Hashem straightens up the bench. When he gets down and then stands on the ground by his bed on the floor, Hashem spreads out the earth over the water, and in other words, and made the earth a place where we're able to stand on. Yeah, Kimaski, when he starts walking, Hashem makes the man, Hashem makes the person able to walk and go where he needs to. Kisayim the sunny, when he puts on his shoes, also be called Turkey. And why is shoes also be called Turkey? Because with shoes, you're able to go out into the street and accomplish everything else you need. You can't really do that if you're barefoot. Right. He also had Yonah, when he puts on his belt, that Hashem girds the Jewish people with strength. A belt is a symbol of strength. Throughout Tanakh, you always have the expression where you have many places where you have the expression when you're talking about a person or Kavyachal Hashem, showing strength, you say that they were oizer, they girded themselves with strength, because that's how it was in those days. They wore like long flowing robes, and when you want to do something, when you want to do hard work, you'd put on a belt, and then that way like you have your clothes are now held in place, and now you're able to do hard work. You also use the belt to hang tools and weapons and whatever on, so it's a symbol of strength. When he puts the sudra, the turban or whatever on his head, he says the bracha that Hashem crowns the Jewish people with glory. Only those two brachas do we say Yisrael, the Abudraham, I think it is, says, because all the other things are things that apply equally well to Jews and Goyim. But when it comes to a belt and a hat, yes, many Goyim wear belts and many Goyim wear hats. However, only by us Jewish people do those have an additional significance. We wear a belt not just in order to hold up our pants and not just to hang tools from and whatever, but also, as we learned back in the third parak, to make a separation between the heart and the erva so that we can daven properly in front of Hashem. We wear a hat not just for fashion or because it's cold or whatever, but also so that we recognize that Hashem is above us. So therefore, those two we say Yisroel. Those two we recognize is not just the fact that we have a belt for strength and a hat for glory, but also that we Jewish people have another twist on it as well.
So then, what if we have a belt? What can we make a brach on that? Why do we need a gartel?
Because the minhag is to wear a gartel, and the minhag is to wear an additional belt. It's true, technically, if you're wearing pants, or even without a belt, even if you're wearing pants that have a tight-fitting waistband, mitzvah halacha, you wouldn't need to wear a gartel, but the minhag is to. Okay. By the way, it also says the Rosh would put on his tefillin before he said the bracha Oto Yisrael B'Sefarah, because he held that the bracha also is thanking Hashem for giving us the crowning of tefillin. Onward. When the person wraps himself in the talus, then he says the bracha that Hashem gave us the mitzvah to wrap ourselves in the tzitzis. That's for the talus gadol, by the way. For the talus katan, we say al mitzvah tzitzis, although once the person is married and starts wearing a talus gadol, he doesn't say that anymore. Then he just says the bracha on the
talus.
Right, because then he just says the bracha on the talus gadol, and it's mostly, yeah. Same thing, because he still wears a talus. When he puts on tefillin on his arm, tefillin shoyad, now Hashem gave us the mitzvah to put on tefillin. Areshe, when he puts tefillin on his head, al mitzvah tefillin. Now, here you have a machloket Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Is it that you only say that second bracha only if you talked, hello, only if you talked between shoyad and shorosh? Or is it, Rabbeinu Tam says, you say it regardless. You always say, because after all, the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh are separate mitzvahs, and therefore each one deserves a separate bracha. So you have the minig by Ashkenazi, the minig at Nusch Ashkenazi is that you do say the two brachas regardless, whether you talked in between or not. Or Nusach is that, no, you only say the bracha on Mitzvah Tzvillin only if you talked between the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh.
Okay. When you put the Rabbeinu Tam on.
Rabbeinu Tam, you don't make a bracha on. Because Allah has passed him like Rashi. We only put Rabbeinu Tam on to be choshish for his daya, but we don't make a bracha on it. If you accidentally put on the Rabbeinu Tam first, then you made a bracha. Okay, you're the Yevid, you're Yosef, but you still don't. It's brought that if a person wears Rashi in Rabbeinu Tam, inevitably, at least one time during their lifetime, they're going to make that mistake. Okay, onward. Okay. I don't remember the source, but that's what they say. Okay. Onward. Ki moshi yodi, when the person washes his hands, and by the way, it's interesting. I mean, in our siddur, we have these out of order. We have the Tzolos Yadayim first, because the Zohar in particular talks about you're not allowed to say brachas or anything before you wash your hands. So that really should be first. So is it that in those times they did it differently, or is it that maybe the Gemara is not necessarily mentioning the brachas here in order? It could be either way. As far as I know, it doesn't make a difference. There is a difference. There is a as far as whether they wash first. There is a difference. Well, there is a bit of a difference in the order. In particular, now our Gemara is not mentioning the brachas shalayasani goy shalayasani avid shalayasani isha. Those are in Menachem. And actually, you have different nusachos. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they say those right at the beginning, right after Hanosam Osech Rivina. They say those three, and then they continue with Pesheach Avrim and the rest of them. Whereas we put them at the end. Next, Kimoshi Afe, when he washes his face, Lema, that he says the bracha, Baruch Amaver Chevle Sheinim Me'enai, we don't say Chevle, but okay, Amaver Chevle Sheinim Me'enai, that Hashem takes away the bombs of sleep from my eyes, or Snuma Me'afapai, and deep sleep from my eyelids, and then we continue, it's all part of the same bracha, V'hi Rotsen Milfanacha Hashem Alekaine, be your will Hashem, Shetagulene B'Sayra Secha, you should get me accustomed to your Torah, V'dabkeinim B'Mitzvay Secha, and connect me to your mitzvahs, V'alti V'eni L'Lidei Chet, don't bring me to an accidental Avera, V'Lidei Oven, or to a deliberate Avera, V'Lidei Nisoyen, or to a trial, V'Lidei Vizoyen, or to embarrassment, V'Choyf Asisri L'Shtabed Loch, control my Yesahara, subjugate my Yesahara to be subservient to you, V'Rachakeini, my Yesah in general. We say the whole thing in plural. Yeah, in general, we learned earlier in the fourth paragraph that Abayad said that in general, when a person says a tefillah, usually you should say it in Lashon Rabban to include himself together with all the Jewish people. That's how we do over here. V'rachakeni ma'odim ra, keep me far away from a bad person, or mechaver ra, from a bad friend. V'dabkeni v'yetatov, or mechaver tov ba'olamecha, connect me with the yetatov and with a good friend in your world. V'sneni hayom v'choyom l'cheno l'chetad l'rachmim v'einecha v'einecha roya. Give me...
World.
in your world, meaning as long as I'm in, because we're in our nusach, we actually don't say by the machanu. Or sneini ayom v'chol yom machenu chaser ulachim ve'enecho ve'enecho roya. Give me today that today and every day I should have grace and kindness and mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of everyone who sees me. V'sigmaleni chasadim tovim. You should give me good chasadim. And we finish off baruch atah Hashem gurim chasadim tovim la'am Yisrael, that you give good kindnesses to your people Yisrael. That's the bracha. So that's Rav Amram going that added that in the middle of the bracha of Hamaseh, although we don't say that now, but we do say it in morning brachas. One interesting idea on that is there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Rishoyim, it's better if they stay asleep. The longer they stay asleep, the less they're harming, the less they're causing trouble for themselves in the world. So therefore, after we say the bracha that Hashem takes away sleep from us, we want to continue. But I don't want to be like one of those Rishoyim where being awake is bad for me and for the world. Instead, help me be a tzaddik so that my being awake is beneficial for me in the world. Yeah. So those are the brachas. So again, you have a machloikas between the Rambam and most other Rishonim, whether you say each of these individual brachas only if you actually were neschayiv in it that day. But if, for example, you didn't do one of these things that day, then you don't say the bracha. Or do you say them regardless because it's the seder of how people enjoy things in the world. And the general halacha is passed in like a second opinion. So we always say them with the exception of Shasali Kol Tzoki on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Again, there's also a bit of a difference as far as the order. Mostly the order is not really ma'akev, with the exception the post can say of if you said Matir Asurim, then you can't afterwards say Zekus Prufim, because included in Matir Asurim is Zekus Prufim. You're standing up straight and your limbs are unbound. So therefore you have to say them in the order. If you're going to say them, you're going to say both of them first Zekus Prufim, then Matir Asurim. Or do I have that backwards? Matir Asurim first, rather. Yeah.
No, right.
I think I had it in the right order, yeah. I don't know. I should really be more careful about that, I guess, when I'm, yeah. No, Matir Asurim first, then Zekus Prufim, yeah, because included in Zekus Prufim that you're able to stand up straight is that your limbs are unbound. So if you say Zekus Prufim first, you can't say Matir Asurim anymore.
It means
that you're able to walk, stand up straight. To stand.
You can.
That's the point. So therefore, do you first say Matir Asurim, then Hashem unbinds you, meaning that you're able to move, and then Zekus Prufim that you're able to stand up straight. Otherwise, if you did it the other way around, once you stand up straight, automatically it means your limbs are unbound. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it is. You're able to stand up.
But the
point is, you're able to move. You're able to stand up straight from lying down in bed, and you're not chained like that. Okay. Onward. That's what it says. You also have, by the way, the Rambam holds that it should be the way we're saying it here in the Gemara, that you say each one individually when you do the actual thing. Many of the other posts can hold, and this is the minhag, that we just say them all together in morning brachas or in shul, as the case may be. Okay. Onward. Right. We said in the Mishnah, Chayav Adam Levarech, a person is obligated to bless Hashem for the bad, just like for the good. So my Chayav Levarech Al Ra'ah Keshem Shem Levarech Al Tovah. What does the Mishnah mean by that? Ilema Keshem Shem Levarech Al Tovah, Tovah Ametiv, Kach Levarech Al Ra'ah, Tovah Ametiv. Does it mean you say the same Nusach of the Bracha? What do you mean? V'atnan, we learned in the Mishnah, no. Abasura Tovah, same Al Tovah Ametiv, Abasura Tovah, Amid Baruch Dayan Emes. You say a different Bracha for each one. So what does the Mishnah mean? That you have to bless Hashem the same way. The answer is, Amar Rav, lo nitzrucha ela kabulinu b'simcha. It doesn't mean the same nusach. It means the same mentality, that both good and bad, you should accept the simcha and make the bracha with a whole heart equally well. Amar Rav Acha Mishum Rav Levi, Maikra, it's not almost impossible. If the Gemara is telling us that you have to do it, then you have to develop that sense of things. You have to develop the sense that as the Gemara is going to say, whatever Hashem does is for your good. Amar Rav Acha Mishum Rav Levi, Maikra, what the pasuk that expresses that idea? The pasuk says in Tehillim, Chesed or Mishpat Ashira L'cha Hashem Atameira. Chesed and judgment I sing to you, Hashem. I make music. Meaning, in Chesed Ashira v'im Mishpat Ashira. Regardless whether it's Chesed or whether it's Mishpat, which means judgment, either way, Ashira, I will sing to you, Hashem. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Mehacha. It's in Kapitel Kufalos. But we see David HaMelech exemplified that. David HaMelech throughout his life had terrible hardships all the time, but he still accepted it with Simcha. Rav Shmuel Bar
Nachmani,
throughout his life, he always had hardships. Because he did. You want, we can sit down and talk about it afterwards. But come on, man, this is right now we're not having a nachshu. Rav Shmuel Menachmeni Omer Mehacha, Ba'ashem Ahalal Dover Ve'elikim Ahalal Dover. Rav Shmuel Menachmeni says you have another pasuk in Tepetul Nunvav that says, in Hashem I praise the matter, in Elikim I praise the matter. Actually, the pasuk says it the other way around, really, first Ve'elikim, then Ba'ashem, but whatever. Ba'ashem Ahalal Dover is a Midah Torah. When it says Ba'ashem, Hashem is Midah Sarachmin. So when I'm being given a Midah of good, then I praise Hashem. And Ve'elikim Ahalal Dover is a Midah Koronis. That means even when Hashem is punishing me, Elikim, meaning judgment, then justice, swift justice, even then I'm praising Hashem. From Tanchum Amar Hacha, you have two psukim in Kapitel Kufta Zion and Hallow, Kos Yeshua Sefer Hashem Hashem Ekra, Sar of Yavin Emsa Hashem Hashem Ekra. So we see that regardless whether he's lifting up the cup of saving, Kos Yeshua, so whether he's Sar of Yavin Emsa, whether he's finding trouble and then pain, either way, Hashem Hashem Ekra, I call in the name of Hashem with the same feeling. But Rabbanon Amri Mehacha, the Rabbanon say you have another
music case.
The point is, in both cases, of Hashem Hashem Ekra. That's what we're focusing on. That's what we're focusing on, of Hashem Hashem Ekra. In both cases, it's of Hashem Hashem Ekra. Rabbanan Amri Mehacha, the Rabbanan say you have another pasuk in Eiyub, after the first series of disasters that happened where Eiyub's children were killed and all his possessions were taken away and whatever. He says, Hashem Nosan v'Hashem Lokach, Hashem gave it, Hashem took it away. Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach, may the name of Hashem be blessed. So we see that he accepted the good and the bad and on the same level. Because you know, the whole thing where the Sutton tells Hashem that only because Eiyub is rich, only therefore and successful, only therefore is he a Yoreh Shemayim, take it away, you're going to see he's not such a Yoreh Shemayim, so it was a test. Okay. Whatever, that's the whole story of Eiyub. Amr of Tahuna Bara, Amr of Huna Amr Rav Bishim Rameir, V'chein Tona Mishmei de Rav Akiva, L'olam Yehei Odom Rav Yoloima, called the Obed Rachman of the Tav Obed. In the name of a mayor, and so it's also learned in the name of Rabbi Akiva, a person should always be accustomed to say everything that Hashem does is for the good. He holds Rabbi Akiva, as in fact you have a story of Rabbi Akiva, famous story. He was traveling on the road. He came to a certain city. He wanted to stay overnight over there. He wanted somebody to help to put him up. Nobody would let him in. Omar, he says, okay, call the Obed Rachman al-Tav. Everything that Hashem does is for the good. So, okay, it must be that Hashem has a reason. I shouldn't stay in the city. Ozel bus the Davra. So he went and stayed in the outdoors, in the fields or the forest or whatever. The Havabade Tanagol of Hamor of Shraga. He had with him a rooster, a donkey, and a lamp. The rooster to wake him up in the morning, the donkey to ride on or to put his packages on or whatever, and the candle to be able to learn Torah by night. Also Zika Kavri Lashraga, a wind came and blew out the lamp. Also Shunra Achla Lachanagoyla, a cat came and ate up the rooster. Also Arya Achla Lachamara, a lion came and ate up the donkey. And still on the Kolda Abed Rachman Lachav, he still said everything that Hashem does is for the good. That night, a troop of soldiers came, Shavulamasa, and took everybody in the town captive. Amalahu, so later on, Rabbi Akiva says to them, the Pashto says, Lav Amulaku, Komasha Osa, haven't I told you that everything Hashem does is for the good? If the lamp had been shining, then they would have seen me, and if the donkey or the rooster had been there, they would have made a noise, and the soldiers would have seen me, and they would have captured me as well.
We didn't have it
that recently. You have in Sanhedrin, you have, I think, the story of Nochemish Gamzu, where he says Gamzu Latovo with the story of the chest over there. This story, as far as I know, is only here. But actually, you bring up an interesting point, which is there's a sicha in Chelek Beis where the Rebbe discusses the difference between Nochemish Gamzu, Gamzu Latova, versus Rebbe Akiva's Korban Abed Rachman Latav Ovid, where the difference is Nochem is in Hebrew, Gamzu Latova is an expression in Hebrew, Rebbe Akiva's is in Aramaic, because the Rebbe explains Nochem is expressing, Lashon Kodesh is clear, Aramaic is more a lotion of golos, so it represents when things aren't so clear, and we still know, despite the fact that it's not clear, which is the theme of our Gemara over here, it's not clear how this is good for me, but nevertheless, I have emunah and I have betachon that whatever Hashem is doing is the right thing for me. So not in Nochum's case, the thing to begin with was good. Not only he didn't actually have any trouble from it in the first place, the fact that they replaced the jewels over there with dirt, he only discovered it when they opened it up in front of the emperor. And besides that, it turned out even better than the original because it was effective as far as they threw against their enemies, et cetera, as opposed to that. Akiva did go through a hard time over here. They wouldn't let him to stay overnight. They donkey for the moment. Yeah, of course it's a true story. But the point is, the point is that at the time, Rabbi Akiva didn't yet know how it's going to turn out, what the outcome is going to be. But he still said, nevertheless, in Lashon Arami, that we still see that there is a good reason for it. And eventually he found what the good reason is, as opposed to Nochem Ishkamzu, who we knew to begin with. But I've also developed the idea that there's a difference in that. Well, but they only found it when they first opened the box, and then they all came right away, right. So there's a difference. Also, I think the Rebbe develops the idea that Nochem lived when the Beit Hamikdash was still standing, when it, of course, was more obvious in the world, whereas Rebbe Akiva mostly lived after the Churban. All right. V'amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Mishum Rav Meir, also Rav Huna says the name of Rav and the name of Rav Meir. So again, we mentioned before that same chain, so now we have another teaching from the same chain of Chachamim. La'olam yu dvarav sh'adam mu'atim l'shnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should always be speaking very little in front of Hashem. Shenema, we actually have a pasuk in Kehelet. Al tivahel al picha, don't be so hasty with your mouth. V'libcha al yimahir l'hoti dover l'shnei HaKadosh. Your heart should not rush to say something before Hashem. Ki ha'elikim v'shamayim v'ata al ha'arz, because Hashem is in heaven and you are on earth, so you should realize Hashem is higher than you. Okay, yud v'rach ma'atim, therefore your words should be few. Now, what does this mean? Marsha says that this is referring back to, we said that a person is chayev to bless Hashem for the good and for the bad with the same level. But in other words, the point is, Rav Huna is telling us, even if you're davening, okay, you're entitled to daven that Hashem should take away the bad and replace it with tuv anir v'anigla, but be careful what you're saying, that it doesn't come out that you're saying it in a way that looks like you're complaining and saying, Hashem, you don't know what you're doing. So you have to be careful about that, he's saying.
It doesn't mean throwing the tailing.
Well, it also means, but that's not l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means before Hashem. So yeah, in a certain sense, it means that a person should always realize before Hashem and watch their words. There's also, it also includes, for example, the idea other, as Slach, I think, explains that we learned back in the fifth parak, we have the story of the person who's davening by the Omer, and instead of saying, okay, like God, like Gibbon Vanura, he says a whole catalog of praises of Hashem, and he's told that that's not right, because we only say the ones that the Anshet, that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Anshet Netzagzela told us. So that's also included in this. The Evan Ezra, actually, it's funny, you know, most of the time you look in Evan Ezra on Nach, you usually have, he's very brief in his comments, sometimes so brief that it's very hard to understand him. Here, on this passage over here, the Evan Ezra goes into great length and goes on the attack. He goes push on the attack on Rav Elazar HaKalu, the famous Taisan that we say so many of his piyutim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and certain other times during the year, that he goes ballistic on him, like Hayitachan, the guy wrote such long piyutim and the Lashon Kodesh in them isn't even proper, and then this and that and the other, and he's giving examples of how ungrammatical he is and what happened to what we're saying over here. Don't be talking over much in front of Hashem. Interesting, Evan Ezra. The fact is, the Jewish world has not accepted that. We still use his Theosin, but it's an interesting Evan Ezra there, yeah. Onward. Since we talked about the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and you mentioned actually in the Mishnah that a person has to serve Hashem with both his Yitzharim, V'Avdas Hashem L'Kach B'chol L'Vavcha, means V'Shnei Yitzharacha. So let's talk about the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. The Pasuk says, V'Yitzer Hashem L'Kim Eta Adam. The person says Hashem created, Hashem formed the man. The Shnei Yudin. Now, the word Vayitzu over there is spelled with two Yudin in the Pasuk. Therefore, Shnei Yitzur and Barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem created two inclinations in a person. Echad Yetzer Tov and Echad Yetzer Ra. Master of Nachman. However, Rav Nachman took after that. Elamei after, by that logic, if you're going to tell me that the two Yud... The two yuds represent two yitzorim. Elamayat, behema deloiksid ba vayitzer. So by an animal, it doesn't say vayitzer with two yuds. It only says with one yud. Less lo yitzra. Do you mean to say that it doesn't have two different kinds of natures? But you see, an animal, you could say on a regular basis, so to speak, has a yetzer tov, because usually it's docile and does what the person wants. But v'hokachazin in the maskim v'nashcho basa. But sometimes you see that it's destructive and it bites and it kicks. So like sometimes it has a yetzer hara as well. So an animal also, so to speak, has two yetzerim. No, so that two yuds don't represent the yetzer tov and the yetzer hara. Ela kedir shimon ben Pazi. Rather, the meaning of the two yuds by a person is like what Rav Shimon ben Pazi said. The Amr of Shimon ben Pazi, Ovi mi yotzri, Ovi mi yitzri. A person has to realize that he's always out of balance over there. Woe because of my yotzer, the one who created me, and woe for my yetzer. Meaning, in other words, like I'm always on a seesaw over here. Am I going to if I listen to what Hashem says, then I'm good with Hashem, but then I have a hard time with my yetzer hara because my yetzer hara is going to constantly try to attack me and get me to do the opposite. And if I don't, if I listen to the yetzer hara, then I'm in trouble with Hashem, with yotzri, my creator. So a person always has to realize that they have to thread the needle over there. Yeah. Inami kedir Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Another possibility, the two yuds in Vayitzer by a person represent what Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar said. To Amr Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, du parsufin bara akadosh baruch hu ba'adam rishon. Hashem created Adam rishon with two faces, two forms, back to back. And then afterwards, when it was time to create Chava, Hashem separated those two and made Chava into a separate person. But originally, they were Siamese twins joined at the back. Oh, that we learned from the word by Yitzchak.
Why did he create them?
One second. Ocher v'kedem sartoni, because the pasuk says the back and the front you created me, which means, in other words, that there was a back person and there was a front person, and originally they were joined together as one body. No, let's ask them. We're going to have an argument now. The Gemara says, but the pasuk says, like, even Hashem alakim as a tzela, Hashem built the tzela. Now we always, we often translate tzela as rib, and we say that Hashem took a rib out of the Adam Rishon. But the Gemara over here is not taking that. The word tzela can mean a side, like we have by the Mishkan and in these parashiyot, or tzela haMishkan. So therefore the tzela means a side. So what does that mean? Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel argue what it means. Chad om a pausuf, v'chad om a zonov. One says it means there was a complete image of a human being. That was Chava, and then Hashem separated from Adam. So again, like Siamese twins, and then Hashem did an operation and cut them apart. And the other one says, Zonav, that the extra thing was a tail, or not necessarily a tail, actually. A number of Rishonim and Achronim say that when the Gemara says Zonav, in this context, it doesn't always mean a tail, as in something that sticks out of the backside over there. It just means an extra thing on the body. So maybe actually it could be the extra rib, for that matter. But whatever it is, it was... No, it doesn't matter. Zonav doesn't have to stick out. An extra piece on the body that doesn't usually belong there. In fact, I think the Maharal says, for example, about, you know, it's a week before Purim, you know, when it says that Vashti developed a tail, we the kids always have, you know, they always have literally a tail, you know, like a cat's tail or whatever. But I think, the Maharal, I think, it explains that. No, Lavdavka means that. It means, for example, that all of a sudden she became fat or something, you know, she all of a sudden felt like she's overweight or something, and therefore she's embarrassed to go out in front of everybody. So, yeah. Okay. So either it was a complete pausuf or it was a zonav, it was an appendage to the body, which then Hashem shaped and built into Chava. Speaking of the Maharal, by the way, he explains one meaning of what this machlokes is. We know that Jewish people are higher than malachim. If we say that the woman was originally a zonav, was originally an appendage of Adam's body, then it means she's on that level also, higher than malachim. If we say that she's a parsuf, then it means the man Adam who's in front is higher than the malachim. The woman who started out in fact is not higher than the malachim, but on an equal level to them. So that would be one nachum in
that. The only thing is that if they're Siamese twins, then who says that Adam was the one in front?
I was going to address that point too. Okay. B'shleimel amanda om a parsuf. Okay, I can understand according to the opinion that there was a separate image of Chava that afterwards was separated. Ha'inuchtiv ocher v'kedem sartoni. Then we understand. We just said the pasuk is ocher v'kedem sartoni. Hashem, you created me the back and the front, implying that each one is a whole parsuf, a whole form of its own. Elul amanda om a zonav my ocher v'kedem sartoni. But if you say that it was just a tail or an appendage or whatever, then what's the ocher v'kedem sartoni? There's no difference then between the front and the back. The answer is Kedirab Ami. Then the Pasuk Ochav Akedem Sarchoni is teaching us what Rab Ami said. This Pasuk Ochav Akedem Sarchoni, by the way, is in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Tes. It's brought that Adam Rishon composed the original form of that Kapitel. And then David rewrote it and put it in Shalom. So the Omer Rab Ami, Ochav, the Maisa Bereshis, the Kedem Lepuronus. It means that mankind was created last in Maisa Bereshis, but he was the first one when it came to the punishment. So the question is, which punishment? B'shlema ochel ma'isa b'reishis means ivriyad ma'aleh, shad ma'aleh, shabbatah. We know, because everything else was created during the previous days. Another tradition was created on Erev Shabbos. El of b'kedem l'poronus, but when we say that mankind was first as far as the punishment, poronus demai, which punishment? Ilem of poronus denochosh, do we mean the punishment involved with the chatei tadas? No. V'atanya, Rebbe Yomer, v'gdula maschil min agadol, When it comes to great things, you start with the greatest person there and work your way down over Kala, Maskilim, and Akatan. And when it comes to a curse, you start from the lowest ranking person over there, or the lowest ranking one. Big Zula, Maskilim, and Akadro. When it comes to something great, you begin with the great one, dictated by Dava Moshe, Al Aaron, Al Elazar, Al Isam, and Bonavani Sodom, Korbagoma, when Moshe is giving instructions what to do with the Korbanos of the eighth day of the Miluim. So he first speaks to Aaron and then to his son, because Aaron is greater than his son, so therefore that's the order. But so you go first from the gadol.
So taking out the dead people.
No, that was after a few psukim earlier. The klala maschilim nakatan. When it comes to a klala, then you go from the smallest, because you see the chilon is skal nachash. First the snake was cursed. All the surf is skal chava, and then chava all the surf is skal adam. So we see that mankind was not the first one to be punished over there. The snake was. Ela puranis the mavel. No, what we mean is mankind was the first to be punished in the mavel. The pasuk says Hashem erased all of the beings that were on the face of the earth. Adam va'ad behema, from man to beast, meaning first bereisha Adam va'ad behema, first man, then the animals. So we see that their people were destroyed first. So that's what it means. So according to that, that's what it means. Ocher v'chedem tarsoni, that Hashem created the human beings last, but when it came to the marble, they were the first ones to be punished and destroyed. Okay. Getting back to the Shleim Lamanda Amar Parsuf, okay, again, we have this Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether Hashem originally created two Parsufim, the two Parsufim of Adam and Chava back to back, and then afterwards separated them, or whether it was just a Zonav and an appendage. So the Shleim Lamanda Amar Parsuf, Heinrich Tivayitzer B'Shnei Yudin, again, if we say it was a Parsuf, we just said before, that's what the two Yuds represent, one for Adam, one for Chava. Ella, I'm under on the zone of my vayitzer, but if you say it was only a tail or an appendage, an extra part of the body, then what's the vayitzer? You wouldn't use a whole yud for just one part of the body. The answer is kedir shem mentazi. Then it would be what Rav Shimon ben Pazi says, as we said earlier, jamer shem mentazi oli mi yotzri oli mi yotzri, that a person is in trouble regardless whether they follow Hashem or whether they follow the yetzahara. They always have the other side to contend with, and that's what the two yuds represent. Okay. The Shleim Elamanda Amar Parsuf. Okay, I can understand the point of the opinion that it was a Parsuf. Heinrichtiv Zohar in the cave of Brahm. Later on, in Parshas Bereishis, it says that Hashem created them, male and female. Because Hashem created two different beings, male and female, attached back to back. Elamanda Amar Zonav, my Zohar in the cave of Brahm. But according to the opinion that it was a Zonav, then what do you mean Hashem originally created male and female? Hashem originally created man and then took the Zonav out of him and created Chava. The answer is Kedir Abba Bohu. In that case, if we say Zonav, then they would understand the pasuk like what Abba Bohu says. The Abba Bohu runs. Abba Bohu pointed out a contradiction. Ksiv Zohar in the cave of Ram. Uchtiv kibit Selam Elakim also as Adam. On the other hand, it says that in the Selam Elakim, Hashem made Adam, meaning the man. So what is it? Did Hashem create Chava also the Selam Elakim? Or not, but it says Zohar in the cave of Ram. But Chila Olam Machshava liberates Beis. Originally, Hashem intended to create two separate ones. All of a sudden, Nivra Ela Echad. In the end, only one was created. Now, what does that mean? How does that Hashem doesn't change his mind? Hashem doesn't have difference of opinion. The Rashba explains in a Tshuva what the Gemara means is like this. Originally, Hashem intended all along that there's going to be male and female. But when you get to all the other animals, they have males and females were created separately. There's no particular shayekos between an animal male and an animal female. There's a bunch of them were created all at the same time. Mashenkin, with human beings, Hashem's original plan all along was that there's going to be male and female. But the original, it could have been that Hashem could have created humanity like the animals. Male and female are created separately, and therefore there's no particular shayekos between man and woman. Instead, Hashem created them as one body, and then separated them in order that now, even afterwards, of man and woman are two separate bodies, but nevertheless, they join together, they feel for each other, they have a connection, they have a mental and a connection mentally, and beruchnius and whatever. If they've been created as two separate beings, then you wouldn't have that. Then a man and a woman would just be like any male and female animal. They just mate and then they go their separate ways. The fact that Hashem created Adam and Chava as one body, and according to this, even that Chava is just an appendage, a zonav, and then separated, and then made Chava out of her, that makes it that now a man and a woman are actually able to become the boss of Echad, that they become one person. We even have in Halacha, we had earlier in the third paragraph, that Ishtik Gufay, a man's wife is considered like his own body. That's the result of that plan of Hashem. So that's what the Rashi explains. That's what it means that Hashem originally intended, and then in the end did it this way.
That
made for life? Yeah, okay, fine. But, yeah, okay. All right. Okay. This shleim lamanda om a parsof. Okay, I can understand according to the opinion that two separate forms. So we understand the pasuk says that when Hashem separated Chava, then he closed up flesh over there because you're going to have a big hole over there. So Hashem had to close it up. If you say it was just a zonav, what needs to be closed up? The answer is Omer of Yimid, Tamer of Ziv, Tamer of Nachman. Very simple. You still have the area where the zonav was cut away. Otherwise, you would have had a scar there. So therefore, Hashem had to close it up, but there shouldn't be a scar.
Smaller hole.
A smaller hole, yeah. Okay. Next. So far everything seems to work out more easily. If we say parsof and if we say zonav, then we have to find a way to end for each thing. Now the other way around. B'shleim l'man d'om a zonav. If we say that originally Chava was a zonav, ha'nidachtiv b'yiven, therefore the pasuk says that Hashem built it. Because you have, it's only a zonav, it's only an appendage, an extra part of the body, and it had to be transformed into a human being. El l'man d'om a parsof, but if you say that originally Chava was created as a whole person of her own, and just attached by the back, parsof is a whole person. Yeah, that means a whole person. My by yiven, and what do you mean by yiven? Nothing had to be built. The answer is v'chid Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. According to that opinion, the word by yiven teaches us what Reb Shimon ben Manasseh says. Dorash Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. My v'chid by yiven Hashem et ha-tzeila. What does this pasuk mean? Hashem built the tzeila. Melamachet. It means that Hashem braided Chava's hair, then via the Adam edition, and only then brought her to Adam, so that she should be beautiful. So you should see her as beautiful as possible. And where does Vayiven mean braiding? She came to Krachayam, Karin Lachal Pitla Kli Asa Bnei Asa. In the cities near the sea, meaning I guess on the coast of the Mediterranean, by Israel or whatever, their word for braiding is Bnei Asa. This is Negei La Halacha, by the way. This is why you're not allowed to braid hair on Shabbos, because the Tolda of Bona. Dover Acha Vayiven, another explanation of Vayiven, Om Rav Chista V'amilov Masnit Atona, Rav Chista says, or some say it teaches in a Braisa, Mulamet Shebna HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava Kibinyan. It means that Hashem built Chava, and women in general, like a built Kibinyan oyster, like the way a granary is built. When you store grain in a granary, Mal Oyster Zeh, Kosta Milamayel V'Rocha Milamata, a granary is built in such a way that it has a narrow opening on top, and then it widens towards the bottom, to be able to cover off a paris in order to fit in order to take in the produce, because if it was the same width on top and on bottom, then it could be the weight of the paris that are in it could cause the walls to break, to fall down. So therefore you make it sort of pyramid shaped. Ishak, Sodom, Lamailu, Rukhava, Ramata, the same way. A woman's body broadens towards the bottom, towards her hips. She can have a cabal of blood in order to be able to fit the baby inside her womb. So that's the Vayivan.
Okay.
All right, so that's that. So we have those two different opinions, Parsuf or Zonov, and each one has a way of entering the various circular things. Okay. And the Pasuk says, Vayivieha al-Adam, the Pasuk says that after Hashem created, or that after Hashem built or braided or whatever, Chava, Vayivieha al-Adam, he brought her to Adam. This that we're saying, he brought her to Adam, means that Hashem became the Shushvin. Hashem was the interferer for Adam. A Shushvin means a good friend, but it means the kind of person who helps arrange the wedding. What?
An intermediate?
No, not an intermediate. A person who helps arrange the wedding. So in other words, in modern terms, yeah, the shushvinim are the unterfirers, the ones who lead the kala under the chuppah, but also more generally, the shushvin, a shushvin is a dear friend who helps you arrange your wedding. So Hashem did that for Adam Rishon. We can learn the Torah derech eretz, and here the Torah teaches us derech eretz, she yachta gadol im katan b'shushvinis ba'al yeralai, that a greater person should be willing to be a shushvin for a lesser person, and he shouldn't think beneath my dignity, because we see that Hashem had no problem being the shushvin for Adam Rishon, even though Hashem is incomparably greater than Adam Rishon. Okay. Next, Ulamando Amar Parsuf. Now, if we say that originally it was a zonav, no problem. It's only one person with a zonav, so therefore there's no question which way they walk. But now we come to your question, Eli. If we say that it was a parsuf, if we say that Adam and Chava were originally two completely formed human beings and joined back to back, hey minayu sagi b'reisha. Which one walks forward and which one walks backward? It's logical to say that the man, that Adam, was the one who walked first, and Chava walked behind him. The Tanya, lo yahalach Adam achore isha baderech, as we learn in the Braisa, a man should not walk behind a woman on the road, even if it's his own wife, because the gnai, Rashi says the gnat. So the point is, even because it's not right. So the man is the man is more the is more the what
the leader.
It kind of, yeah, the man is more the leader. So therefore, the man is the mashpia, the woman is the makabel, the man is the leader, she's the follower, etc. So therefore, it's only right that he should go first. So the same thing with Adaman Chava, yes. If a woman happens to be in front of a man on a bridge, an Ashishish, let's say, and she's in front of him, then move her to the side, in other words, move over until, you know, go to the side, don't keep on walking behind her, go to one side until you can get past her. And if a man walks behind a woman in a river, then he has no chelik lelam abo. Why in a river? Now she explains. Because when she's crossing through the river, she has to lift up her skirt. So then it's not right. We're talking about walking through the, wading through the river. She has to pick up her skirt. And then he's behind her and he's looking. Tosfos says it's not a one-time thing. If he does that kind of thing regularly, then it's going to lead him to Neof. It's going to lead him to Znus, and then he's going to end up in Gehenna. As a one-time thing, apparently Tosfos says, then okay. In principle, this halacha applies. You're not allowed to walk behind a woman in the street. Although the Bar Hetev brings in Eben Ezer that you have Rishonim that say that it really only applies if you're walking within her Dalet Amos. So if you're walking outside her Dalet Amos, maybe there's less of an issue with it. Not everybody agrees with that, though. The Radbaz, in fact, even says that even, for example, when he lived in Egypt and in Eretz Yisrael, where the women go veiled head to toe, he says you're still not allowed to walk behind her. Nowadays there are posts from Achron myself, for example, from the Shlomo Zalman Oyerbach, who says, look, I mean, practically speaking, sometimes you have more women than men on the street. You know, it's not really possible to not walk behind them, so therefore you try to avoid when possible. But
you like this
way. Yeah. Okay. All right. We learn it, but maybe this is the reason. You know, you have the buses in Eretz Yisrael where sometimes they have separate seating, the men in front, the women in behind. That would probably be based on our Gemara that the women should be behind the men, so the men are looking at the women. Yeah. Okay. If a man is counting out money to a woman and from his hand to her hand, kedele stakoba, and he's doing like he's doing it slowly in order to be able to look at her while he's doing it. Afilu yesh biyod toro ma'isim tovim k'moshe Rabbeinu. Such a person, even if he has as much knowledge of Torah and as much ma'isim tovim as Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yinokeh b'dinah shel Gehenna. He still won't be cleansed from the judgment of Gehenna. He's still going to have to go and then stay a spell in Gehenna.
Any woman,
but Pashas more married woman, but Pashas to a certain extent any woman. But especially, the truth is nowadays there's not really a lot of difference because a married woman, of course, is a married woman, and if she's not married, then she's usually a nidah. Because unmarried women don't go to the mikveh, so therefore you have a different problem. You have a different problem of alias, of nidah. Yeah. Where do we see that even if he's like Moshe Rabbeinu? Shenema yod lo yod lo yunoked ra. A pasuk in Mishlei, hand to hand will not be cleansed of evil. So the hand to hand has a double meaning. It means the person is counting out, the man is counting out money from his hand to the woman's hand, dropping it coin by coin into her hand. But it also means, even if he's like Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah in his hand from, so to speak, Hashem's hand, so even if he's on that level, nevertheless, lo yinokeh medina shel Gehenna, he's not going to be cleansed from the judgment of Gehenna. He's still going to have to go get cleaned up in the washing machine there. Okay. Amr of Nachman, in this connection, talking about going behind women, Amr of Nachman, Manoyach Amaoret Haya. Manoyach, the father of Shimshon, was an Amaoret. Dichtiv Vayelach Manoyach Achre Ishtay, because the Pasuk says, when the second time the Malach comes, the Manoyach's wife, Slopinus, the Gemara says her name was, came and told her husband, the guy who came, the Isha Lekim came again, let's go see him, and it says he went after his wife. We just said, you're not supposed to walk behind your wife. So therefore, he was an Amaoret that he didn't know that. Rav Nachman says, what do you mean? Every time it says in a pasuk that a man went behind his wife, then it means he's an Amaoret. Elameata, what about Rabbi Elkanah, by Elkanah, the father of Shmuel, dichtiv vayelech Elkanah achrei ishtoy, where it says Elkanah went behind his wife. Now, there's actually no such pasuk. There's no pasuk in the entire Tanakh that says vayelech Elkanah achrei ishtoy. The Tosfos says, take it out. So obviously, somebody made a mistake over here. On the other hand, the Maharshal and the Maharshal says, no, come on, you're not going to have somebody made up a pasuk and inserted it into the Gemara. So the Maharshal has a long explanation, the gist of it. He wants to say that you have a story of Pilagish Begiva at the end of Sefer Shoftim, and it says over there by Yochum Vayelech Achareha that he went to follow her to go and try and bring his Pilagish back, and he wants to say that the Gemara is saying over here that Ish Levi from the story over there is O'Connor. Marshall says you don't need that. Lavdavka, that lazy over there with O'Connor. No, what it is just you have a pasuk that says Vayelech O'Connor Horomoto Al Beisoy. Beisoy Zu Ishtoy. So it means that Al, he went following, like in the footsteps of Beisoy, his wife, and went back home from Shiloh. So we see this. So don't know, but the Gemara is not actually quoting the pasuk word for word, but the substance of it is that O'Connor seems to have followed his wife. What about by Elusha with the Isha Ashunamit when she comes and tells him that the baby has died? So what does the pasuk say? He got up and followed her. So what do you mean? They're in those cases, you're going to say it means literally behind her, and you're going to say that, and you're going to say that O'Connor and Elusha are Ame Oret. No, it just means that he followed her word, he followed her advice. The same way with Manoach doesn't necessarily mean that he walked behind her, which you're right would be a gnai and show he's an amoret. It means he followed her advice. She said the Isha Elikim is here, and he went and followed and followed, but not necessarily that he's actually walking behind her. That's what we just said. Yeah, even his own wife, because we said that the man is supposed to be the leader. So yeah. That's what we said with Adam and Chava. And Chava is Adam's wife, and still we said that Adam is supposed to be walking in front. Yeah. Okay.
What about his son in front of his father?
Something else. I don't know. Okay.
Is it also of nine?
I don't know. That's a good question. Amar of Ashi, Ulamai Dika Amar of Nachman, Maneach Amaoret Moya. If we still stick with Rav Nachman's opinion that Manoach was an Amaoret, and we say okay, by O'Connor and by Elisha, it means that they followed their wife or the Isha Shanamis' advice. But by Manoach, if we're going to say it means that literally he walked behind her, if we're going to say that, then Afilu Beirav Nami Lekara. You shouldn't think that he was an Amaoret to the extent that he didn't know this teaching, which ultimately is a Braita. It doesn't say anywhere explicitly in the pasuk. But it would mean, if he actually walked behind his wife, that he was such an Amaoret, he didn't even know a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, when Eliezer is bringing Rivka from Haran back to Yitzchak, that Rivka and her maid got up and rode on the camels, and they went behind the man, meaning the listener. The point is they didn't go ahead of him. Okay, but nevertheless, the point is that even so, they made the point to not go in front of him. Now, the point is, in other words, now obviously they couldn't anyway, because Eliezer has to show them the way, so therefore the Pasuk wouldn't even have to mention it. The fact that obviously they went behind him just for practical reasons, the fact that Pasuk makes a point of mentioning Vatilach Na'akra Ish shows that they're supposed to go behind him.
They could have been next to him.
Okay, maybe. Depends how wide the road is, I guess. All right. Amar Rav Yechanan, more in this connection, Rav Yechanan says, Achore Ariv Eloy Achore Isha. A person would be better off walking behind a lion than behind a woman. One is a danger of Gashmius and the other is a danger of Baruchnius. Achore Isha v'loy achore Akum. On the other hand, if you have a choice between walking behind a woman or walking behind Avodah Zarah, better walk behind the woman, because Avodah Zarah, the person may get tempted to follow it. Achore Akum, the person should rather follow Avodah Zarah, v'loy achore Beitech Nesus v'shar shatzim misbalin. The worst of all is to go behind a shul while the people are davening inside, because if he's not going in, he looks like he's Purdah oil, he looks like he's throwing off, I don't care to daven, I'm the vaza. Because then it shows like he doesn't believe in Hashem. He doesn't believe it. But here it shows like he doesn't believe in Hashem at all. He's Avodah Zarah. A person could conceivably worship Avodah Zarah b'shittus. They worship Hashem and Avodah Zarah l'avdil. But over here, he's showing like he doesn't believe in Hashem at all. However, the Gemara says, V'loy amoron elod l'dori midi. Now, we learned this in the first paragraph, but this concept that you're not allowed to walk by a shul while people are dominating in it is only if he's not carrying something. V'dori midi, left on birth. He's carrying a burden, then there's no gnai, because then obviously he didn't go in because he's carrying something. The lawyer moron el the like a piskachrina. That also only applies if the shul doesn't have another door. The ika piskachrina left one bar. If there's another door to this shul, then it doesn't matter because then people will say he's going into the other door. The lawyer moron el the rochiv chamra. It also only applies if he's not riding a donkey. Avo rochiv chamra left one bar. But if he's riding a donkey, then there's no problem because then people are going to say he's not going in because he doesn't have any place to park his animal. And all of this only applies if he's not wearing tefillin. But if he's wearing tefillin, there's no problem, because the fact that he's wearing tefillin shows that he's obviously not poetic oil. He's obviously not throwing off the yoke of mitzvah. Amar Rav, getting back to the matter of the Yetzirah, let's talk about what the Yetzirah is. Amar Rav, Yetzirah Domel Zvug. The Yetzirah is like a fly. The Yoshev Ben Shnei Matachei Aleh, that sits between the two openings of the heart. In other words, that's trying to get the person to go one way or the other and do Aves. Shenema Zvube Mobis Yavish Yabia Shemin Rekeach. As the Pasuk says, dead flies cause even good fragrant oil to develop bubbles. So Rashi explains, when you have something spoiled, then it starts bubbling. And so therefore, like you have, in other words, what one dead fly can spoil a lot of good oil and then cause it to bubble the same way. In other words, one fly, the Esahara, can cause a lot of damage. Shmuel says, the comparison is the Esahara is like a grain of wheat. As the pasuk says, sin crouches at the door, and the word chatas is similar to the word chita, means a grain of wheat. So there's a lot of explanations of what exactly the metaphors mean. Maharsha says it means in both cases, the yetzahara in and of itself is a very small thing, but it has a lot of power if you let it. So it's like a little fly that is a little tiny weak creature, but still, you know, you let it in and it starts causing trouble. Or chita, in particular, we learned before in the Masechta that there's a machlokas what the etzadas was. One is that it was wheat. So therefore, in that sense, the yetzahara is similar to a grain of wheat. There's a lot of other explanations as well. One idea is that flies are only attracted to something that's already decaying or something that's already open and bleeding or whatever. So the same thing, like only when a person starts going the wrong way, then the Esahara comes and then it starts feeding off that. And then,
yeah.
At the entrance, sin, meaning the Esahara, Roivet is crouching. But the word Chatas is similar to the word Chita. There's also an idea, another one in the Chorosh explains that the Machloikas is the Esahara intrinsically bad, like a fly, or is it something that's not intrinsically bad? It's like a grain of wheat. It could be used for good or for bad. Unfortunately, most people use it the wrong way, but in and of itself, it can be something good. Because you can use a grain of wheat, you can eat it, and you can eat it, and you can make bread out of it and eat it, or you could waste it, you could eat it as raw wheat instead of whatever. Yeah. Okay. Turn up on. Stay cloyous yeshve vader. A person has two kidneys. One gives them good advice, and one gives them bad advice. Hold on a second. Now, which one is which? It's more logical. The one that gives the good advice is on the right side, and the one that gives the bad advice is on the left side. As the pasuk says, the heart of the wise person who does mitzvot and learns Torah is on the right side, and the heart of the foolish person is on the left side. Now, what do you mean? You ask them, what does it mean kidneys give advice? The one possibility is, what are the kidneys, biologically, what the kidneys do in the body is they filter the blood. They filter out what's needed in the blood and then keep most of the water and get rid of the excess. That's in a certain sense like giving advice. You have to decide what to keep and what not to keep. So in that sense, metaphorically, they can be said to give advice. I also saw somebody point out a very interesting thing. Right on top of the kidneys, you have the adrenal glands. That's where you talk about a person is excited, for example. You talk about they have adrenaline, and that's among other things, what that accomplishes various things in the body. Among them is it controls various other hormones in the body. So in that sense, it like advises the body what to do in terms of the other hormones and whatever. It also is fight or flight. Like should I stand my ground and fight, or should I run away? It's also controlled by the hormones from that. So that's also giving the person advice. Am I in a situation where I should fight? Okay, but the point is, in other words, in terms of what the Gemara is talking about, we can say the kidneys have that advisory function in the body. The kidneys and then the glands above them have that advisory function in the body. So now the Gemara is going to digress to talk about the various other organs in the body and what they accomplish. We do have to mention that a number of the things we're going to learn over here, it's a little bit hard to understand what they mean in terms of modern medicine, but we'll do what we can. All of them obviously have meaning beruchnias, but we'll see what we can try to figure out the gashmias as well. We learn in a braisa. Cloyus yosos, the kidneys give advice. And by the way, throughout Tanakh, you also have in many places, you have the kidneys are used when everyone talks about giving advice, or like the boichen cloyus v'lev or other such things. In many different places in Tzukim, it uses that imagery that the kidneys give a person advice, what to do or what not to do. Lev, maybe, and the heart understands what to do, what to actually do. In other words, the cloyus give advice, and then the heart decides, what the heart makes the final decision. Loshen mechatech. Then, once the person has decided what to do, the tongue cuts up the speech, and the tongue delineates the letters that are going to be said. Tegoymer. The rest of the mouth, meaning the lips, finish off saying what you need to say. So, in other words, in terms of the spirit, for example, you have the person decides with their midis, the person's midis decides what needs to be done. In particular, in Tanya, in Igeres HaKodesh Chesvav, the Alphabet talks about that the kidneys represent Netzach and Hoid, which gives advice. Then you have the decision what to be done, and then you have it spoken out, which is Malchus. Vesht machnes umoitzi komin in Michael. The esophagus, the food pipe, takes in and gives out all different kinds of foods, takes in when a person eats and gives out if a person needs to throw up. Konem loti koil, the windpipe gives out the voice, so the person speaks using breath from their windpipe. Reya she'eves komene mashkin. The lungs absorb all kinds of liquids. Now, what does that mean? The lungs are used for breathing. So, first of all, Rashi explains that liquids actually come into the stomach. You drink down liquids through your esophagus, and they wind up in the stomach. However, Rashi says that the lungs absorb some of them through the walls of the stomach. Now, what does that mean? And what does that mean in modern terms? It's a little hard to say. The fact of the matter is, the lungs have a blood supply of their own, so that could be what the Gemara is referring to. That the blood supply is very essential that's the lungs. The job of the lungs is to take the blood and oxygenate it. So you have to have that it's constantly taking in blood from the rest of the body to be able to oxygenate it. So it could be that. It could be also the lungs themselves have a certain layer, have a layer on them that keeps them inflated, a sort of liquid layer. So it could be it's referring to that. This, by the way, that we're saying that lungs contain a certain amount of liquid is relevant in halacha. Rashi learns, when we talk about sirchus in the lungs, Rashi learns what does a sircha come about? If there's a hole in the lung, then some of this liquid leaks out and forms a sircha, and that's why he says that's why a sircha is correct.
Could mushkin refer to gases?
It's hard to say, but maybe.
Fluids.
Could be. I don't know. Like gases all have certain fluids. Could be. It could also be, I mean, a person can't breathe completely dry air, right? I mean, it's not really good for your body to have completely dry air. So it could be also, there's a certain amount of water vapor in the air which is breathed into your lungs also. It could be. Yeah. Okay. Kovid koyis. The liver is angry. Mora zereftes by tipo manichosei. The gallbladder puts in a drop of bile into it and calms it down. Now, what does that mean? So I saw an interesting explanation that like this. One of the liver has a lot of different functions in the body. One of them is it produces bile, which in the body is used to break up fat molecules. The bile acts on them and breaks them up into their components. So that's in that sense it's like angry. It's like ripping the fat apart into pieces. But then what happens is when the liver produces too much bile, it stores it in the gallbladder. What happens then? That some of it leaks back from the gallbladder into the liver, and that tells the liver, stop producing bile, you're producing too much. So in that sense, it like calms down the liver, it tells it stop producing this digestive juice, which is used to be angry and to rip apart the fat. Interesting idea. Okay. Well, of course. I think the Gemara is mentioning one function of it. The spleen in the body, soichek, makes a person happy. Now, how does that, in what way does the spleen make a person happy? So the Kuzari from Rabbi Yehuda Levi mentions that what it does is it detoxifies the blood, and therefore it takes out toxic substances from the blood, and in that case, it makes the person able to be happy and to be able to function, which they wouldn't if those things were. There's another explanation. Some of the Rishonim learned the word over here is shoichek with a shin, meaning that it grinds up. Now, what in modern medicine, the spleen does, the major thing the spleen does in the body is it breaks down red blood cells so that the components of them can be recycled. So in that sense, then, therefore, so it grinds up the old red blood cells in order that the body can reuse them. So that could be what the Gemara means over here. Kurkavan toichem, the kishke, grinds up the body. Actually, kurkavan, strictly speaking, is the word for the kishke in a bird. But you have for the stomach rather, the pulpit in a bird. But you have a similar thing with the stomach in a person grinds up the food. Keva yeshena, the keva, the stomach stomach of a person yeshena makes a person sleepy. We know a person eats a large meal, they feel sleepy afterwards. Afner, and the nose wakes a person up. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure what that means.
Very tired and get deep breaths in the nose and gives a little extra oxygen, gives me a little.
Could be. Okay, that could very well be. Yeah, like a person is tired and they breathe in. Could be. I don't know. Continues the Braisa. Neir hayoshin, if what's supposed to make a person sleep starts being wakeful, or yoshin hanir, or the other way around, what's supposed to be awaking the person makes him sleepy. Nimus bahulachlo, then he starts deteriorating and going. In other words, it makes him sick. If both of them keep him awake or both of them keep him asleep, then he's going to die. This is what we said yesterday, the bracha asher yotza atan b'chokhma, that Hashem keeps everything running smoothly, that relates to our Gemara of Yom. Tanya, getting back to the Yetzer Hara, Rabbi Yosef Agluyemer, tzaddikim yetzer tov shoftim, the tzaddikim are judged by the Yetzer Hara. Now we know the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya what it means is, in other words, by tzaddikim, they don't have a yetzahara, so therefore they've either transformed it into good by tzaddikim gemurim, or even tzaddikim sheinim gemurim. They haven't transformed it, but they've completely eradicated it, so to a greater or lesser extent. So therefore, it's shoyfdan in the sense that when it comes to judge what the person should do, only the yetzahara has a view on what to do. The yetzahara doesn't even speak up because it doesn't exist. As David HaMelech says, my heart is empty within me. So like his heart is empty of the Yetzirah. Rishoyim Yetzirah Shaikdom. The Rishoyim are judged by the Yetzirah. In other words, the Rasha, the Yetzirah is the one that gives the advice what to do. Primarily we mean a Rasha Gomer. Primarily we mean a Rasha Gomer, but as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, even a Rasha Shein Gomer, whenever at any time when he's acting as a Rasha, then it means that the Yetzirah gave him the advice what to do. As the pasuk says, the Rosha's pesha, his deliberate avera, speaks inside his heart. There's no fear of Hashem in front of his eyes. So it's the pesha that speaks within his heart and tells him what to do. The Beinanim are judged by both, meaning that each one gives his opinion. And as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya over there, that Hashem helps. Then once each one has given his opinion, the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah, the Nefesh HaLekis, the Nefesh HaBamis, then Hashem gets in on the side of the Nefesh HaLekis and helps him be strong and do the right thing. Shenema Yamid Limin Evyan, as the Pasuk says, Hashem stands to the right side of the poor person. Lo Shiyam Yishayt Yenafshe, to save him from the judges, plural, so we see the two judges, the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah, of his Neshama. Amar Rava Kagoin Onu Benim. Rava says, for example, we are Benjamin. We all know on the first page of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe has a different gear service. First of all, not Rava, but Rabba, which also fits better over here because Abaye calls him Mar, which means Rebbe. He wouldn't call Rava, who is his Chava, that. And second of all, in Tanya, the gear service is Kigrein Ana Benjamin. For example, I am a Benjamin. Abaye says to him, you're not leaving life to everybody, because if you're a Benini, then nobody could possibly be a tzaddik. There's also the explanation. Abaye is saying to Rabba, there's also the explanation that's brought in Shurim the Sefer HaTanya, that he's telling him, since tzaddik yisod olam, since the whole world gets its highest through the tzaddik, as Alter Rebbe explains that in Perek Beis in Tanya, then if you're a Benini, then there's no tzaddik, so how is the world? The Chalal getting its highest now. And Alter Rebbe explains later on, so we talk of what made Rabba think that he's a Benini, because he's constantly learning Torah all the time, so he thought that he's a Benini, I'm a scholar, Kolayim Kolay, that he does have a Yetzirah, it just never has a chance to assert itself, because he's constantly davening or learning, and Abaye is telling him, no, you're making a mistake, you really are a tzaddik. Okay. Rabba says the world was created only for complete Rishoyim or for complete tzaddikim. Meaning, in other words, Olam Hazeh was created for the complete Rishoyim. They enjoy this world. They don't have anything in Olam Haba. So therefore, the ultimate of this world is created for the Rishoyim to have a place for Hashem to give them a reward for whatever they deserve. And Olam Haba was created only for the Tzaddikim Gemurim, because they're the only ones who get the full effect of it. Omar Rabba, so Rabba says in this connection, later, Inish Benafshe, in Tzaddik Gomor Huim Lav, a person has to know for himself whether he's a Tzaddik Gomor or not. So that, the pasuk fits with what we just said about Abaye and Rabba, that Rabba was thinking that he's a Benini, and Rabba is saying, yeah, you have to know. If you're a Tzaddik Gomor, then don't kid yourself to think that you're a Benini. We said that the world was created only for Rishoyim, Gemurim, and Tzaddikim Gemurim. So here is an example of it. The world was created only for Achav ben Omri, the famous Rosh King Achav, and for Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Achav ben Omri, he enjoyed Olam Hazeh the fullest possible way. He was very, very rich. And Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who was very, very poor, had a full place in Olam Haba. He had nothing of this world. It actually brings from a Gemara in Tainus that he and his family only had one cab of Arabs to last them from one Arab Shabbos to the next. So he had nothing of this world, and therefore he has the fullness of Olam Haba. Okay.